This morning I want to teach on seeing is deceiving. How do things look for you right now? How do they look in your life? How do you feel about the contribution you're making to God's world, huh? You all encouraged and pepped up about the fact that you're making an impact, that you're making a difference, that everything that you're doing is just really having a splendid, fruitful outcome. Well, I want to go to the book of Haggai today, chapter 2, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with regard to what you're looking at right now. Because how many of you know Christians can often stick their heads in the sand and hide from reality? Sometimes in the name of faith, we can put our heads in the sand, all right? But we as believers should be the most realistic people on the planet, and we really should be the people that tell it like it is and then trust God. Well, we're going to look at a time of discouragement in the life of God's people in Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to begin with verse 1. It says, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord to the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. May God bless the reading of his word. Let me frame some context for you. The children of Israel had sinned and they'd gone into 70 years of captivity. And whenever we sin, we go into circularity of some sort. And after 70 years, they'd returned to the land. But the Temple of Solomon had been destroyed. The city had been uprooted. The land was overrun with enemies and it was all overgrown with thorns and thistles. And the people of God came back to that site of utter rubble and utter ruin. And the task wasn't too big, monumental. They had to rebuild a nation state that had been utterly depressed for 70 years, had to whip up the enthusiasm in the people, do their up with people, rah, rah kind of, you know, concerts to boost their ego, rebuild a nation state, that's all, rebuild the temple from the ruins of Solomon's temple, which was one of the greatest buildings of the ancient world. And these people are confronted with a task, and they were very discouraged. In fact, it says they got to building because God told them to. You ever done something just because you ought or you should or I guess it's what God wants, and yet you're discouraged. They were so frustrated. They were so discouraged that they threw down their tools for 18 years and did nothing. You know, I believe with all my heart that your 18 years are up. I believe that for some people, your 18 years are coming to an end. Where you in frustration and for whatever the circumstances internally, externally, you've gotten full of despondency, frustration, you've thrown down your tools, you are so depressed you can't even get out of bed, and this went on for 18 solid years. So God had to raise up Haggai, and he's raising up the prophetic spirit of Haggai. Haggai is a positive word brought into your despondency and despair to remind you of a few things. And I want to look this morning first at the cause of discouragement. Verses 1 through 3 tell us they were frustrated and despondent. Now, look at what their job was. Rebuild the temple. It took 183,000 people 7 years to build this temple. Approximately 663,000 pounds of silver, 563,000 pounds of gold, or... as ornaments for the greatest place of worship in the ancient world. And 430 years before that was inaugurated and dedicated by Solomon to God, and fire came down from heaven, and the white Shekinah glory cloud came into the temple, but the people had sinned, and that was utterly destroyed and displaced. And now there they are in the midst of their discouragement, and God has to say through Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4, be strong. Why be strong? Because they have to rebuild the entire nation. They have to rekindle the faith of the people. And they got to build when there's no resources. They don't have the same amount of silver and gold. And you look at your situation and you go, build what? In comparison to what? I don't have silver. I don't have gold. I don't even have a mattock that's whatever that is. I don't even have one of those that's not loose around the handle. I have a tape called Check Your Mattock, I think, in the 80s. I always picked weird titles, but they didn't have the tools, they didn't have the resources, they didn't have the materials, they didn't have the encouragement, they didn't, and they had enemies on every side, and the land is overgrown, and God says, I, however, still require you to respond in obedience to me, keep building the unique thing that God has put your hand to. Don't throw down your tools. I know you're frustrated, I know you're despondent. The spirit of Haggai rises up and says, you can do it. They were afraid. Fear was their besetting strength. Negative strength. Remember I say F-E-A-R, fear is false evidence appearing real? Don't forget that. False evidence appearing real. These people were seeing a snapshot of reality. There were enemies in the land. That was true. There were scarcity of resources. That is true. There was no comparison to the punky little temple they were building and what once stood 430 years before. That was true. But nonetheless, God says, in the midst of their fear, he says, I love you and I'm with you. See, they were afraid first that God didn't love them and that God wasn't with them anymore and that it was an impossible task to rebuild the temple. But Haggai 2:8, God says, the silver and the gold are mine. Don't worry about the money. I got you covered. You just build the unique work I told you to build. And it starts with your own life right now. You are unique. God didn't have one of you. He wanted one of you. He made one of you. You are unique. In a million lifetimes, there's never going to be another you. Keep your hands strong in the name of the Lord. They were frightened that because of their past sin and their past failures, that they would not be successful. And God said to them, don't worry about the money. I got all the silver and the gold in the world. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Thank you very much. I am with you. Don't even think about that. Just keep building what I told you to build. Isn't that an encouraging word? He addressed their fear directly, and he says, drop the despondency, drop the frustration, pick up your tools, don't be afraid, I am with you, I got all the money in the world. And secondly, they were afraid that God would never bless them like he had blessed them in the past. In verses 7 through 9 of Haggai 2, God shares them a little secret. He says, let me tell you a little secret. The past temple, as much grandeur as it had, is not to be compared to this temple. Because I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to bring the wealth of the nations into this temple. And I one day will cause the very desire of all the nations, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and walk in this temple. Your best years are yet to come. You be encouraged. I own all the money. Don't worry about it. Keep building. Don't be afraid that I'm not with you and I don't love you and I'm not going to use you like you've seen me move in the past. I'm going to do something that will exceed your expectations with regard to what you're building right now. You see, Solomon had been in that temple. The glory Shekinah had been in that temple, but God incarnate in human flesh, 500 years away, yes, in the future. It was going to be 500 years, but this temple of Zerubbabel, after being ordained by Herod, would one day be graced by the God-man himself. And yet in that word that Haggai gives them, he says, don't be despondent. Don't be discouraged. Don't compare your little work to other things. You see how comparison cripples you? The good old days. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10 says, it's not wise to ask about the good old days. It's just not wise. You know, well, how come Solomon's temple was so big and there's so much gold? You know, it's just never wise to compare you with somebody else and the work you're participating in with somebody else and your life with somebody else, because they've all got trouble. It's just of a different kind. They may have all the money in the world, but their soul is empty and they don't know Christ as their Savior. Don't judge in a superficial manner. The work God has you building is unique to you, and is not to be compared with anything God's done in the past or anything God's doing in the present or anything he may do in the future. Don't be despondent. Don't be discouraged. So Haggai gets to the root of their problem, and the root of their problem was they were comparing themselves with the glories of the Temple of Solomon. In fact, I like God's words. How's this looking to you? How's that little pissy thing you're building look to you? How's it look,
Well, we've got cardboard boxes, and we've got some duct tape.
And well, you know what? Start with what you got. Start where you are, and the Lord's going to always encourage. He's going to say, that's the best duct tape box I believe I've ever seen in my life. Jehovah duct tape, I'll be with you. I'll help that box. I'll fill it with my presence.
You know, if you're on your knees in a box praying and God's presence shows up, that's a work. That's astonishing. He's the one that hallows things by his presence.
Don't demean the little work that you participate in now. I'm talking about your relationship, your home, your marriage, your whatever. Your ministry. Start where you are with what you have and be faithful to keep your hand to the plow and don't look back. And that's what Haggai told these people. Now, you may have been depressed, but it was 18 years for them. Okay, maybe you've only been suicidal for 10 years. Good for you. You kicked their butt. 18 years of not just depression, but total inactivity. They quit working. They threw down the tools. Isn't it deceptive when you read the Bible sometimes and you don't get the fine? You don't know this unless someone tells you. 18 years, they went, we're not going to build another thing. And that's it. And 18 years, everything's overgrown and there's no progress. And God, you've got to look for that. It's tucked in there. But God, instead of rebuking them and instead of saying, why, you lazy so-and-so, he sends Haggai to say, I understand. I understand how despondent you are. I know you were a prisoner. Some of you were born in captivity. I know it looks bad. And Zerubbabel, God bless him. No wonder God had to say, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua the high priest. Be strong, O ye people. Why? Because you're comparing yourself to what used to be. God said, how's it looking to you? He goes, by the way, are there any old timers still alive? It was 15, that saw Solomon's temple. And there were a few old crusty ones. They're always so helpful.
Oh, this ain't nothing. What you're building here, it ain't worth the powder to blow it to hell. I saw Solomon's glory. I saw the glory come down.
Aren't those people encouraging? Just shoot them in the head. Call Jimmy Bag of Donuts.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
God even acknowledges Jimmy Bag of Donuts is still around. He says, don't listen to the old timers. Just when you think you're building a little fire that just might do something, there's always an old timer go,
that ain't nothing. We used to cut the glory like cake, put it on a plate, and feed the poor with it. They were raised from the dead every service. Oh,
shut up. We don't need what God did in the old days. I'm tired of hearing about that. I want to see the glory of the latter temple, and I want to see his glory in a more excessive way on what we're building in the, see, the temple of Zerubbabel, it wasn't much. Now, I'll give you that. Aesthetically, it's like a little box. You see all the illustrations in the Bible dictionaries, Temple of Solomon, and then Temple of Zerubbabel, and Herod had to come along and go, God, we got to clean that thing, encrust that with some jewels, But, God purposely set their hand to a work that did not look demonstrably incredible. Because you see, God wanted to get the glory. God wanted his presence in that ugly little place to be paramount. He wanted to get the glory. And I believe in our time, with the spirit of Haggai, God's saying, I really want to get the glory for what I'm about to do. And I'm sorry that I almost have to cripple some of my people to make them absolutely incapable so that when I move, they're not going to be able to claim credit for it. There's Joseph leading, Jacob with his limp, leading on his little staff, By the time he hit the end of his life, we knew who had gotten him in and out of trouble. It was God that got the glory. It wasn't Jacob. And sometimes God will just let you come to the end of your resources so that you're clear, oh little Zerubbabel temple builder, that whatever you're building may not look ostentatious like the old stuff, but God's the new stuff. God is the one who's going to get the glory. He wants to get full attention for what's about to happen. So Haggai had to come up to Zerubbabel. And by the way, you've heard it before, but remember the book of Zechariah too. embraces Zerubbabel's building task. Zechariah 4:6, you might remember this one. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God spoke that word through Zechariah and Haggai. He had to raise up two prophets to tell the people, keep going, don't get frustrated, know your efforts aren't insignificant, know you haven't been peeing in the wind, no, you haven't just pouring your life's blood out on the desert for no reason, pick up your mattock. Pick up the screwdriver, just aim it in the right direction and act like you wish you could work and I'll bless you. I'm with you. See, they were afraid. They were afraid that God didn't love them. And so God said, you know, I got the silver and the gold. I got you covered. They were terrified God wouldn't bless them like he'd blessed in the past. But God says, I am going to bring such a monumental presence into this temple that you're building that you're going to be absolutely shocked. And by the way, Carl Menninger once said, attitudes are more important than facts. God is the preeminent fact in all of our calculations. God, all through the Bible, has a record of doing impossible things through impossible vessels. Moses, with a staff in his hand, supernaturally led by the Holy Spirit, brought millions of people out of bondage through the Red Sea to a place of deliverance. That was an impossible situation. David, with a sling and a stone, bringing down a 9.5-foot giant, defying the armies of Israel. That was an impossible situation. Gideon, going against 100,000 men with 300 of his Bethel friends. Was an impossible situation. God loves to do the impossible through ordinary people because it gives him the glory. I think the day, not of mega ministries, but the day of personalities getting the focus is over. See, God, whoever he uses, you know, I heard the most wonderful thing, and it was this. Lucifer was defiled by his beauty and his wisdom, and pride entered in. Ever since then, God has been using the despised of the world and the humble and the despondent and all those from the dung heap to show his glory, because that's never going to happen again. What he's about to do, he's going to get the glory for, and he's only going to be using servants who know very well who they are. He uses the meek. He uses the broken. He uses the weak and the despised things of this world to confound the wise. And he uses nothing to bring to nothing the things that are considered something. He gets the glory. Haggai said, don't get depressed and frustrated and despondent over that little temple you're building. The enemies of God, as they said to Nehemiah, that wall you're building is nothing. A squirrel could walk over it and it would fall down. You're not doing anything for God. Just hang it up. Your efforts are useless. You're pouring a cup of water on the desert. No matter what you do, it's going right into the sand. Nothing to show for it. Ever heard that devil talk to you? I'm sure you have, because I wouldn't be preaching this morning. Somebody here has had a little visit or had tea with the devil this week, I promise you. And that's what he was sharing with you, puppet. The Bible's filled with those that defy reality and did things that weren't normal, and things happened that shouldn't have happened. So Haggai says to them, don't give up. Don't let reality that you're seeing now damage your faith. Get your eyes off the immediate circumstances and get them back on God. That's what Haggai had to tell them. Now, I know you don't need to hear this because you're just all fine. But I'm telling you, this struck my spirit. So whoever it's for, God bless you. May that fit like a 42 regular. Now, I want you to notice something. This is one of those little things tucked in the text again. Wouldn't that be lovely? Tucked in the text, Ministries presents. Welcome to Tucked in the Text. Maybe not. Not so much. But you know, I read the first verse of Haggai chapter 2, verse 1, and it starts with a seemingly insignificant time reference. Well, it's not insignificant. Haggai addressed the people to encourage them on October 17th, 520 BC, on exactly the day 430 years before Solomon had dedicated that glorious temple. And he picked that day. And I believe God's brought you here today to hear this message on a strategic day. Look in the calendar. Sometimes he reaffirms his words of promise in a unique prophetic way. He made Haggai speak on that day, addressing their comparison. And he says, oh, by the way, just as you have been pining away and stopping your work because you're looking at people, places, and things that used to be, I'm going to address you on the very day that Solomon dedicated that temple, 1 Kings 8, verse 2. And I'm telling you that what you're a part of now is a part of a multi-generational work. And the glory of the latter temple is going to be greater than the former temple. Just trust me, keep working. Don't be discouraged. View the reality in front of you, but don't take your eyes off God. It may be everything it appears to be, but God. You may be in a horrible place, but God is still on his throne. You may have no tools and no materials and no inspiration and enemies on every side, but God called you to the task. Do not slacken your hand and do not sit down for another minute, let alone 18 years. Some of us got tuckered out and beaten around by the devil, and we've had about 18 years of healing. Now, you know what? You have to heal after you've been through difficulty. You don't have a triple bypass and then have someone in ICU say, you lazy fool. You know, I mean, you know, you have to recover. You know, you don't go through ICU and go, oh yeah, tied up to IVs when there's a whole world going to hell. You have to heal when you've had a triple bypass. You have to heal when you've been run over by a car. As much as you want to get up and help the other person that's homeless on the street and feed him or something, you need to recover. And you know what? This 18 years was not totally lost time. They did get to recover. They did get to reflect. But you know, God knows when to signal an end to our depression and signal an end to our frustration and say, okay, I got it. Heard the story. Stop the tape. Blah, 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 blah. You've been playing the violin. We get it. Now, pick up your tools, look ahead, look at me, we're going somewhere. And notice, it would be 500 years before Jesus, the God-man, walked into this temple. But you know, we are a part of a multi-generational work. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Mark, Tim, Rick, Mike, Linda. We are part of links in a chain of a multi-generational work. And if Christ comes in our time, wonderful. If he doesn't, wonderful. We are going to continue putting our hand to the plow of the unique work God's called us to, because this is the only time in history we live. Your kids grow up quick in front of you. Your friendships, I'm telling you, loved one, cherish everything you've got in your life, everyone you've got in your life. Be heightenedly alive in the now. Taste your food, eternalize moments, and know that you are part of a multi-generational work. And it may not be in your lifetime that you will see the full fruit flowering of your pain and your investment and your faithfulness and obedience. But you know what? Reality that's confronting you right now does not let you off the hook to obey God in doing what he told you to do. Yeah, but Lord, look at this over here. But I didn't tell you. Yeah, I know that. I know there are devils in the world. When Jesus came to the world, there were Roman devils everywhere. There was sin rampant, homosexuality rampant, drug addiction rampant, alcoholism rampant. There's nothing new under the sun, folks, except Christians discovering sin. Oh, can you believe it? Yeah, I can believe that. I was actually embellishing it a little bit more than, okay, loved one. It was a cruel world when God spoke through Haggai to give them hope. All right, the Persians were in charge. They were a people under foreign domination. There were enemies on every side. They had no materials to fulfill the work, but God said to Zerubbabel, what I'm doing is not by might, your might, not by power, your power, but it's by my spirit. And you know what he said to Zerubbabel? Who art thou, O mountain? There was a big mountain of rubble. Can you imagine that? Some of you in your life, you just got a mountain of rubble and you go, where am I going to start? Oh my God, it's a mountain. You know what? Just take a teaspoon and just get a little dust and just turn around and go and throw it over here in the corner. That's what had to happen to Zerubbabel. God had to speak to him, the builder, the leader, and say, Zerubbabel, you're looking at a mountain here. Who is that mountain? That mountain shall be leveled in front of you. Don't you get depressed. Don't get despondent. You keep your teaspoon and just take a little bit more dust. You know, instead of kvetching, well, you can kvetch. Just move something. Take action. Take a stone. You can pick up a rock, can't you? I have no talent. Sometimes all that God requires is faithfulness. To lift one little rock and go and throw it over there in the ditch. Just one little spoonful of dust. Throw it. Just do something. Just do one little thing. And God says to Zerubbabel, it's not by you and it's by my might, it's by my power, it's by my spirit. Don't worry. That mountain that you see in front of you will be made into a plain, God promised. Now I want you to just, before I close, I want to mention the solution to the discouragement. Because in Haggai 2, 1 through 3, we see the reason for the discouragement. In verses 4 through 5, we see the solution to the discouragement. Remember the text. He says, I will shake the nations. I will bring the desire of all the nations. I will bring more glory to this house than was ever in the former house. And he gets them looking to God and staying focused on the kingdom priorities while they're discouraged. The answer is get your eyes off the immediate reality. Yes, it's there, acknowledge it, but keep your eyes on God. He's the greater fact behind it all. He's still in control of the universe. He's still absolutely in control. When you watch the press and airplanes are falling out of the sky and it looks as though he's taken his hand off the steering wheel, you know what? All you can do is just move ahead. A friend of mine told me recently that they had had a dream. They were in a burning house. And this house was just being consumed, and they saw Jesus standing in a doorway, and he said, come this way, come this way. And they said to Jesus, but Jesus, what about all the other people in the burning house? And Jesus said, I'll take care of them. I got them covered. You come this way. Loved one, just obey him. Just follow him. Let him take care of all the big questions we can't solve. Let him make sense of your past. Let him clear the path with regard to your future. You just keep your eyes on him. Just keep your eyes on him. When Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. And when we look at the wind and the waves, we sink immediately. But loved one, I want to encourage you today. The spirit of Haggai is being raised up in the church. And the spirit is saying the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And sometimes the best ability you can have is dependability. You may not be the best-looking thing in the world. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have any talents. You may have been all gone when you were in the line and you showed up and they'd close the window. You may not have any ability, but you can have dependability. You can be on time. You can be faithful in your 6 square feet. You can do what God has shown you to do. Maybe just the next right thing today. Maybe you've got just enough light to do the next right thing today. That's enough if it's offered to him. So I want to encourage you, we're all looking around us right now and we're all seeing varied realities. But this time in Israel's history was specifically frustrating. And it was a time that could tend to bring despondency and despair and depression. Well, I want to pray that off of you in Jesus' name. Because the spirit of Haggai is rising up to encourage us, to refresh us. And you know, the work will be revived in the midst of the years. See, 18 years, everything had lain in ruin, and the devil claimed victory. But you know, Haggai is the same man that says, in the midst of the years, I'm going to come in and I'm going to raise up these walls. Let's pray now. Close your eyes. I want to pray for you right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray for my dear friend listening right now. Your dear friend. This saint, Lord, that has been accosted on the north and the south and the east and the west. This saint, Lord, that has had wolves biting and nipping at the heels right up to the throat. Father, these who have been faithfully discharging their responsibilities, but they've grown weary and well-doing, and they're just going to collapse. They're just going to fall over, drop their tools, and they're just going to quit for 18 years. In the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of us looking at the wrong things. I rebuke that. Father, put our eyes right now back on you. Lord, refocus our gaze upon the face of Jesus right now. Lord, we pray that you will move us from the wind and the waves and myopically staring in a stare at the waves and get our eyes back on Jesus' face right now. Father, we pray a spirit of heaviness be lifted right now, a spirit of despondency be lifted right now. And you may have every reason to be discouraged and depressed, but still, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pray it off of you in Jesus' name. We pray hope to come into the bloodstream, encouragement to come into the mind and the thoughts, because the glory of the latter house is going to exceed the former. Our best days are yet ahead. The best is yet to come. The world is yet to even see what the glory of God can do when released upon 6 billion people. Lord, we thank you that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and only then will the end come. And we're just able to do that for the first time right now in our culture. So, Father, give hope right now to your children. Give us a spring in our step. Give us a song in our heart. Give us a whole new outlook. Refresh us, Lord, with fresh water and fresh oil in Jesus' name. And give the Lord praise by faith right there. Give him a hand right there. Give him praise right there.